Well, good evening. Yeah, some of you guys say, "Who's Bill?" Well, I'm your brother. Amen. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And man, God is so good. I'm so thankful to be here tonight. I'm so thankful to be accepted here. The Newburgh was a wild trip. Roller coaster ride, but God has great plans. You know, it doesn't happen by accident, and He has a wonderful plan. And we're not always ready for what He's ready to do, but that's where we put our money where our mouth is, so to speak, and we trust Him. Trusting in Him. I just want to let you a few things about me. I was raised in Pennsylvania in the dairy cattle, dairy farm region, and my father had 8 brothers and sisters. He was the black sheep. They were all farmers. He was a carpenter, and he liked to drink quite a bit. And that's who my father was here on the earth. But I was raised Catholic. Went to Catholic school, did the altar boy gig, and about 13, I heard the Lord's voice say, you know, come and follow me, and I said, when I'm 21. That took till I was about 35, and in those years, I went through a real trip. I ran from God. I knew I was running from God because what I saw that was told to me that was God, I knew that that was worthless. I just went out and did what I wanted to do for a lot of years. Drove truck for a lot of years, cross country. Had a wild, wild lifestyle. Wrecked a marriage, 17 years. Didn't know there was a war going on, couldn't win a battle, lost it all. But my whole lifestyle was sex, drugs, rock and roll. That was me, 18 hours a day. Just smoking dope until I had to take an upper. From here to California, back 7 days constantly. That was my life. I had my own truck, big wheel on the road. And one day, I found out that my then wife was having an affair with my then best friend. And at that time, I was running to the Carolinas, and So I verified this with a neighbor. I pulled up on him. I mean, I went right and just put my finger right in his face. I said, look, I need to know the truth, because he lived 25 yards from my back door, was his front door. So he knew what was going on in the neighborhood because he was that kind of a guy. So I put my finger in his nose, and I said, I need to know the truth because I'm going nuts. So he said, oh, yeah, as soon as your daughter gets on the bus, he's there every day. So as I'd be driving down to the Carolinas at about 2 in the morning, I'd give my number a call, and I'd get the beep, 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 beep. And then I'd give my best friend's number a call, and I'd get the beep, 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 beep. I put up to this for about 6 months, and I was literally going nuts, literally going crazy. And in those 6 months, though, God was working on me. I specifically remember one time I was going south, and coming north was this crazy guy with this flatbed singing, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not." I mean, and all I could do was say, shut up and leave it for the church. That's what I was thinking in my heart, you know. But I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that to this day. And so long and short of it, I ended up in an Assembly of God church one Sunday morning. My then brother-in-law was there with his wife, and I sat behind him. They didn't even know I was in there. And after church, he just stood up and he turned around and he gave me a hug. I'm telling you, it was the hug I was looking for my whole life. It permeated my being. And so I went on in this torment for a while, and finally, just all by myself, I said, Jesus, take it all away. And I'm talking, take it all, I'm talking 4 packs of cigarettes a day, ounce of dope a week, alcohol, everything. Couldn't say three words in a row. I don't even know anybody that was as belligerent and as filthy mouthed as I was to this day. And I've had a lot of truck driving jobs. And I said, Lord, take it all away. And I'm telling you, as God is my witness, he took it all away. I mean, like that. He took it all away. So I was totally, you know, totally transformed. And you know the lust that I had for all that stuff? He gave me the greatest gift in the world because I never read a book. When I was going to school, I had all the girls do my reports. I didn't do that. I didn't read. I couldn't. You know, I was the guy that when they called on you to read, it's like you just turn red and can't say anything. So that was me. So I didn't read books. But you know, when I got saved, God gave me the most beautiful gift. And all the lust I had for that other stuff, he gave me a hunger for the Word of God. And my mother actually thought I had lost my mind. Because I would read the Bible from 5 to 8 hours a day. Just not knowing what I'm reading. I mean, I can remember, I can't tell you how many times. Lord, I don't even know what I'm reading. Just read. Just read. He's washing me. 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 You know, just read. And he did. He washed me. He cleansed me. He set me on fire. I mean, those truck drivers, I mean, the way the Lord got me out of the trucking industry was wild. Because he got me off the over-the-road thing. And then I went to work for Yellow Freight through some circumstances. But in between all that, the church I went to and I got born again was in Honesdale, Pennsylvania. And so after I was saved, my wife, she couldn't stand what I was, then she couldn't stand what I is. You know what I mean? And so she didn't want nothing to do with it. So I was just going through this whole thing, you know, reading all those scriptures on God hates divorce and all that stuff. And I had all kinds of help with all my brothers and sisters were just letting me know, brother, you just stand in there. You know, stand in there, brother. Stand in there. Let your heart bleed. You know, that's what I did. I let my heart bleed, and I would pump myself up, you know, because I lived down in Maybrook, and I lived in this apartment. It was a refurbished barn, and there was like eight drivers in there, and we all had our own bedroom, and we shared common kitchen and bathrooms. And all I did was read the Word, fast, and pray. That's all I did. I had a honeymoon. And I would build myself up, you know. I'd build myself, man. I get myself all pumped up with the Word, and I'd go to Pennsylvania. Man, it took about 15 minutes, and she had me just like a whipped dog. I'm telling you, I was a whipped dog. And I come back, and I did that for a long time. I did that for a long time until I couldn't stand it no more. And in that time, I stopped going to church in Pennsylvania. I came down to a Church of God down in Newburgh. And I saw this woman who was just beautiful to me. And she loved Jesus as much as I did. But I wasn't divorced yet. So I went and had a meeting with a pastor. And after we bounced up and down, I dropped Barbara. I'll tell you, I dropped Barbara. The first two times, I just dropped her from the 10th floor because I was just going nuts in my head. I just couldn't live with myself because, you know, I wasn't divorced yet, and she was, you know, she was everything I was looking for in a woman, but I wasn't divorced yet, and so the third time the Lord told me, look, you can't do this. I said, okay, you tell her. Well, at the end of service, Barbara came over to me, weeping, saying, Bill, I believe the Lord spoke to me that we cannot be together. And I said, well, hallelujah! You know, and we just parted ways. And it was in that time that I had things to deal with. I had issues to deal with. And so I dealt with my issues. And I don't know how long it was. It was probably 6 months, maybe 9 months later. It was the first time she saw me in a long time, and I went to church, and we were walking across the parking lot after church, and we were talking. she said something to me, and I says, well, you know what? Why don't we just get married? You know, because it was all dealt with. It was all dealt with. I mean, we went through some stuff in that. Her mom died. We went through a lot of stuff during that time. But I had settled in my heart. I had made a decision. And I can tell you, when you make a decision to do something, all hell breaks loose against you. Especially if it's got anything to do with God or the kingdom. When you decide you're going to do something, man, everything just comes against you. So the minute I made a decision that I wanted Barbara, we got engaged, my ex-wife just thought, she just fell in love with me all over, you know. She says, well, I believe this happened so that we could minister to people who are thinking about getting a divorce. I mean, she wasn't in the Lord. She wasn't not. She was just sad because I was getting happy. You know what I'm saying? And so Barb and I, we got married. And, wow. I just have to tell you, Barbara Jean has taught me the love of God. Because we started a business in 91. It was a janitorial service, and that was started through fasting and prayer, a meeting with Wayne Gwilliam. And we started that business, and we poured everything into that business. At that time, we bought an old rusted-out van, and we bought the stuff we needed for janitorial service, and we got 1,000 business cards, and we started our business. And we exhausted everything. And that happened after we had a mortgage. And when we got the mortgage, I was working. Barb was a teacher in the school district. She was making good money. I was making good money. So she resigned from her job. Then I got fired from my job. And we have this mortgage. And I was working for Tetz Concrete. And every week I went to work, we made less money. I was just going in a hole. I couldn't make enough money there. 65 hours a week wasn't enough. So that's when I had I decided I had to start the business. So that's what we did. We started that business, and we've exhausted everything. We've been doing that business for 18 years, and we have 3 sons, Aaron, Bradley, and Stephen. And we had no insurance at all. And Stephen was very interesting. He was sick. He was 2 pounds 6 ounces at birth. And we went through a whole trip with him. We did 24/7 at Westchester, 24/7 at Vassar. Then he finally got to come home. But I said that to say that, you know what? We don't have any medical bills. But we didn't have any insurance. You hear me? We didn't have insurance. And so God blessed us through that whole thing. Amen. And I remember when I was supposed to bring my son Aaron, my first son, home from the hospital. It was the night before, and I said, you know, Lord, they won't even let me bring my son home unless I have a car seat. We didn't have a car seat. We were exhausted. We had nothing. And I went out the next morning, and in between the 2 garage doors was a brand new car seat. Don't know where that came from. But that I can only tell you that over and over and over and over, stuff like that happened. God just provided. And Stephen, he's tall. He's healthy. I mean, all the boys are awesome. And my wife and I were just happy. There's nothing like a godly woman. There's no relationship like that. A godly woman is such a blessing from the Lord. She's my Proverbs 31 wife. And if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't be here 18 years in the business. And all through the years, I mean, I had days when I would just wake up and roll over. I was so in depression. And you know what? Through all that time, Barbara never gave me one negative word, not one negative comment. She always had found something to encourage me with. She always encouraged me. Always. I mean, we didn't have money for nothing, and she would find a way to encourage me. And she's my beloved. And we are We are so blessed. So I'm going to, because I was forgiven a lot. And when you're forgiven a lot, it's a beautiful thing. It's almost, you know, I almost, well, I don't know. But when you're forgiven a lot, it gives you a lot of ability to forgive other people. You know, so one of my favorite passages in Scripture is in Matthew 18. And I just want to share that tonight. Matthew 18, 22 or 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now that's good news. If Jesus is saying that to Peter, man, I got hope. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that gives me hope because I know who I am and I know how many times I have to hit the wall before I get it. You know, and Jesus doesn't say, oh, sorry. Sorry. 30th time you did that, only got grace for 29. Sorry. He doesn't do that to you. He separates us as far as the east is from the west, from our transgressions. And he don't remember those things once you confess him. And that's a beautiful thing for me. So therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's like an undescribable amount of money. Impossible, you know. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is next to nothing. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. This is all in red. This next verse is in red. Jesus said this, next verse. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. That's heavy. I believe unforgiveness is one of the biggest things hindering us from a move of God. I believe judgmentalism, criticalness, inability to submit to authority, these things are all stumbling blocks for us. I mean, we don't like to do that stuff, you know? But I'm that servant. I'm that guy who owed that debt that was so new, so large that you couldn't even label it. I'm him, you're her. And there's absolutely no excuse for unforgiveness. This is just my opinion now. I have a doubt in my mind that if you cannot forgive, if you're born again, if you've experienced it yourself. If you can't forgive, then I don't know how much you think you've been forgiven. Because once you've been forgiven that great debt, it does not matter. You can release anybody into anything. I mean, it's easy. It's easy. I had a bit of unforgiveness in me. My mother and father used to have this like, my dad would go out drinking. My mother would spend all day Saturday making his favorite dish. Okay? My dad, he would go fishing, but he never went fishing but to go drinking. He never went drinking but to get drunk. Okay? So when my dad wouldn't come home at a certain time, my mom took off. You know, she went out there. She ran out after him. So I remember one night, I was probably 12 years old. And my mom and dad came up the steps. We lived in an upstairs apartment. And my mom and dad come up the steps. My mom was drunker than a skunk. And I met them at the top of the steps. And my mom went into the living room, and she kicked me square. I mean, she kicked me square. And I had a little brother and a little sister. And what my dad said at that time, it still rattles my cage. Because what he said at that time, he said, "That's my only son. Don't you hurt him." Now, I have a brother and a sister who are younger than me, 12 years younger than me. I had some forgiving to do. I had to forgive that. I have a lot of forgiving to do in my family. But you know what? Once I got saved and once I got the revelation of that I was who I was, man, I went to my mom and I wept with her and I made her explain to me all that. And I forgave her and she forgave me and she accepted Jesus. And, you know, it was an awesome, awesome thing. But she's in heaven now. You know, she went through the cancer thing. But for me to forgive her, that was easy. You know? I got one for my dad. Now I had this truck. I bought my own truck. And I started going coast to coast. And I told you I was doing 7-day rounds by myself. Just because I was... A typical round would start, you go get loaded, you park at the house, you get up in the morning, and you start heading out across 80. Okay? So you get out there. Well, I have a cousin in Bellefonte. That's State College out that area. First thing you do is you buy 1,000 pills and a bag of dope. That's the first thing you do. And you just smoke dope and take pills all the way out and back. That's what you do because you can do it, you know. And you just go back and forth, and you listen to music, and you drink Pepsi all day long. That's all you do. You're like a yo-yo going to California and back. Well, I had my truck loaded here at this end, and that trip was going to put me over the hump, so to speak, with my payments. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that trip put me ahead. That was the trip that was going to, you know, I could maybe take a breather after that trip. Well, my dad, he always wanted to drive my truck. Always wanted to drive my truck. I mean, this was a pretty thing. It was big, black, and shiny. You know, it was beautiful. And so I was going up through town, bobtailing. That means without a trailer. So I saw my dad's car at his favorite bar room. I went in there and I said, "Hey, Dad, you want to drive the truck?" "Sure." So I took him up. We went up out of town, up over the dam. There's a dry dam up there on top of the hill. And I showed him to watch this. You got to do this. So we got up the top of the hill. "Okay, Dad, you can drive now." So while we're sitting there, it started to rain. Top of the hill. No trailer. A lot of power. So we took off. We started going down the hill. We were probably going about 50 miles an hour or so. All of a sudden, instead of going up a gear, he went down a gear. And when you go down a gear and you're going that fast, what happens is it spins backwards. So we did this. Thank God we went into the cliff and not over the cliff. But I ended up, I was sitting on my dad, and the duals were off the truck. We walked out the windshield, and the truck never was right from that time. I actually left that truck in Albuquerque, New Mexico, after going through so much grief trying to make it work, and it always breaking down. Because once something gets crashed like that, only Jesus can fix that. You know? So I had to forgive that. That was huge for me. And that unforgiveness, that stuff stole a lot of years. And that's what unforgiveness does. It steals from you. It steals from you. I think of Jacob and Esau. You know, remember them? Yeah. They had some real issues. I mean, he stole his birthright. He stole his blessing. Esau actually says, I hate him. I hate him. As soon as I'm done grieving my brother, I'm going to kill him. So long and short, he goes away for 20 years. Jacob gets homesick. So he comes back with all of his family, all of that host. And, man, he's scared to death because he knows Esau is going to. I mean, this is a guy who says, I hate you. I'm going to kill you. 20 years later, when they finally do meet, Esau runs to him and embraces him. This was after Jacob sent a delegate and all these gifts to be accepted. But Esau says, ah, man, that stuff doesn't mean nothing to me. I'm blessed. But it stole 20 years. 20 years of that relationship. How many years will you let go by? And how many years will you let Satan steal from your relationships? And most of the time, it's family. Most of the time, it's family. And that's all unforgiveness is. It's a thief. So that I had to forgive my dad that day. But you know what? I can remember the night I talked to my dad. Man, I thought he was going to squeeze my hand off. But I shared with him what God did to me, how he healed me, you got to understand something. Now, for years, I smoked 4 packs of cigarettes a day. Years. I'm not talking about just a taste of that. And an ounce of, in between cigarettes, I'm smoking marijuana. Okay? And I got delivered from that. And you know what? I was doing so many sit-ups, I just quit because I didn't have time to do anymore. When I was doing this honeymoon with Jesus, I got on this running gig because the Lord revealed to me that it all works together, you know, spirit, soul, body. It all works together. You know? It all works together. As you get older, you kind of don't want to think about that. But it does. It all works together. I mean, when your body's functioning, man, you are a mean machine. When you're in the Word, when you've renewed your mind, you are a mean, mean Jesus machine. You are. You're on fire. Look at this guy here. This guy's on fire all the time because he's flowing. He's like whitewater rapids. That's why he's on fire. The more you share, the more fire. The more you share, the younger you are. That's the way it is. It just works that way. Forgot where I was. Somebody help me. Ah, my dad, yeah. I was talking to my dad about Jesus. And he's got beads of sweat coming. I mean, this is a man. My grandmother Bates was a Bible beater. That's his mom. She was a Bible beater. She got up in the morning with the Word in her. She snored the Word of God. Loud. Very. I don't know anybody I haven't heard. I've been to men's retreats. I have not heard anybody snore as loud as my grandma Bates. Yet, to this day. But she was a Bible beater. So my dad knew the Word. And long and short, I just shared with him for about 3 hours, and he wept, and he asked Jesus into his heart. And the first thing he said was funny. I have an Aunt Myrna. She goes to one of these. It's called the Gospel Tabernacle. Okay? It's a legalistic thing. You know? And first thing my dad says to me, he says, do I have to be like Aunt Myrna? It was so good. So I had to forgive my dad all that stuff because that changed my life. There was another thing I had to forgive my dad for. If it wasn't for my dad, I'd have never went to Vietnam. I'd have never went into service because I had an out. I wasn't going to go because I didn't believe, bullets kill. And I didn't see any point in that war myself. I might be wrong, but that was my stance. But my dad says, if you don't go, I'll disown you. End of story. I'm gone. But I don't want to go to Vietnam, Dad. Well, you won't go. Yeah, I did. I went. Changed my life. Wasted another bunch of years. Got introduced to dope. Yeah. But I had to forgive my dad all these things. All these things. And but they're not small things. They're things that changed my life. Like the service thing changed my life. I mean, it changed a lot of things in my life, you know. Threw away a lot of years there. And the thing with the truck, that totally, you know, and I can say praise God for the truck thing now, because I'd probably been dead by now, you know, the way I was going. There's one instance of forgiveness that I'll never forget, and is when I was growing up in, because my parents were who they were, my out was sports. I was good at hoops, and I was good at baseball. So I can remember this one time we were in the playoffs for the region, and I hadn't played all year, okay? You got to understand, the coach put five guys on me in practice to steal the ball, but I can't play. That's the kind of town we lived in. If you don't have a name, you don't play. That's the way it is. So at the playoff game, at the halftime, he put me in because they were so far down. And at the halftime, I had just put a shot in that put us ahead by one. Okay? So when we came back out and the people saw that he wasn't putting me back in, they were all shouting my name. But this coach wouldn't put me in because I was the wrong person. Okay. He knew my dad was kind of well known for his drinking. You know, he knew that. So I actually had people that were going to pay my way to college because they knew who I was. My dad never came to a game, never came to a Little League game, Teeners League game, any game, never came to any of them. And anyway, this coach, after I got saved, this coach who broke my heart, because my dad wouldn't let me quit. Again, dad wouldn't let me quit. He says, you're not quitting. You're Bates. You don't quit. You don't quit. So after I got saved, I think it was an Easter, and I was going to church up in Honesdale, and I was riding around. I was always early then. Back then, I was early for everything, man. I was riding around town. The Lord says, I want you to go right there and park. So I go right there by that church and I park. Guess who comes? The old coach. I said, No, Lord, no. Not this, Lord. This is too much for me. But you know what? I went to church. I went to that church service. And I sat right behind him. And when the service was over, I said, Dick, I said, I just want you to know something. I've hated your guts for years for what you did to me in high school. Do you know he didn't even know that he did it to me? He didn't even know that he broke my heart. But I said, I just want you to know I forgive you. And he wept just because I was obedient and there was an anointing there. And it broke him down. So I had to forgive that. But the long and short of it is, when you've been forgiven much, I mean, we've all been forgiven much. I mean, all of us. And it's easy to forgive. It's so easy to forgive once you've been forgiven. And unforgiveness just opens you up for all kinds of, I mean, it actually says that it'll lead into bitterness, it'll rot your organs. God. Man, unforgiveness is a horrible thing. So whenever I read this scripture, it just blows my socks away because that's me, and I know it's me. And I just see in the body of Christ there's so much of that. You know, there's so much amongst us of unforgiveness and that judgmental things. It says, judge not and you'll be not judged. Right? Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Guess what? Give. Give. Give what? Whatever you give is going to come back on you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If it's judgmentalism, criticalness, money, whatever it is, it works. It's pressed down, shaken together, and it's coming over you. You know? Took me a while to learn that one. Yeah. You know, when you read the word a lot, you become aware. You see faults. You know, when you fill yourself with the word for 2 or 3 years, you're just filling yourself with the word. Man, you're able to pick out everything that's wrong. Man, especially in leaders. I got to tell you, that old ball came back and hit me over the head a few times. I said, no, okay, I got it. No thanks. Don't want no more of that, Lord. That's okay. I'm just going to submit and love and love and love and submit and love and submit. So the greatest thing about this walk with Christ is there's just absolutely, you know, we always sing this song, nothing is impossible with you. You hold my world in your hand. That's when the rubber meets the road. Nothing's impossible with him when he holds our world. But when we hold our world, a lot of things are impossible. A lot of things seem like, that can't happen. I can't do that. That's the problem. We hold our world in our hands. We forget those precious scriptures that says that, you know, the life I now live, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Aren't you sick of people saying, it's just the way I am? How do you say that? I don't understand that at all. You know, like my dad, he was you know, a black sheep, and he drank a lot, and he was in bar rooms a lot. But my father reached over here. He grabbed right a hold of me, Tim. He grabbed right a hold of me in the midst of the muck and the mire. And he says, you are not this, you are this. Amen. Now, I can't hardly say that that's just the way I am. I can't say that. Because the whole of Christianity is changing from glory to glory. As into the likeness of the Son. We are supposed to be looking to be like Jesus. You know, the other night at worship, there was Alice had a beautiful description of what she saw in her heart. She saw all these colors coming out of her in a black and white world. You know, the Lord, when I was in prayer one morning, the Lord showed me something. It was like I was walking around, and if you ever been, say for me, it was I'm driving truck across Arizona. When you go across the road, when it's 85, 90 degrees out there, you see this heat coming off the road. Well, the Lord showed me, he says, every place you go, you leave a residue of the kingdom. And that's what breaks the yoke. That anointing. How about that scripture that says, he always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And everywhere we go, he diffuses his fragrance. Huh? That's good. That's good stuff. I love the fragrance of the Lord. So when I heard your testimony, when I heard that, I said, oh, yeah, that. That's the same thing, only different. That's good. Because we're called to be salt and we're called to be light. And I think for me, what I'm seeing in this country especially is the lack of focus on the kingdom. We're too tangled up in us. We don't have time for him. Because when we spend time with him, we change. And we're hot. Right? You got to be hot for Jesus. You can't be lukewarm. And the only way you get hot is just spend time in his presence. So I can't no longer say that's just the way I am. And I can't no longer say, oh no, I can't forgive that. I can't forgive that. Dude, that hurt me so much. But what have we been forgiven? And how much have we lost because of bitterness and unforgiveness? In the body of Christ, at work, you know? It's all over. I mean, this walk is a walk. It's a lifestyle, you know? You're salt and light when you get up in the morning. You're salt and light when you go to the gas station. When you go to work, you're salt and light. And I got to believe that if we start walking in forgiveness, we'll be whole. We'll be more whole than we are now. And we'll be more like Jesus, and we'll be brighter lights to shine. And I don't know if there's anybody here today that has issues with forgiveness, unforgiveness. But I challenge you to just search your heart for broken relationships, for cut off relationships. And the beautiful thing is we can confess our sins. We can ask for help. We're not helpless. We're not orphans. All we have to do is ask him to help us to do anything. If we ask him to make a way for that, he'll do that. You know, before I met that coach, I know I was praying, Lord, whatever you got to do to make me whole, whatever you got to do to make me out to be what I need to be for you, go ahead and do it. You know, we pray those prayers and then everything breaks loose in our life. We say, what is this? He says, that's the answer to your prayer, son. That's what that is. But if anybody has problem with unforgiveness, relationships, I'd love to pray with you.